Good morning. Do you guys get how weird this place is? I mean, seriously, do you get that? I mean, like, so we started worship with this amazing confession. We had praise and worship singing done by this amazing teenager. We had this incredible tribute that was given honoring just the significance of what this couple has meant to individuals, but also to this community in worship. And we sing birthday to somebody who's celebrating today. Like, this is kind of weird, right? I mean, like, it's good weird. But we should acknowledge that what God has created in this space is a unique thing. Like, it's an honoring thing. It's a unique space of family and friendship and belonging and community. It's this unique thing. There is something beautiful about what God does when we come together, we worship God, but we recognize the connections that God has between us. I think there's an awful lot of people in our country who have maybe learned that what they're looking for in a church on Sunday morning is a place where they can go and disappear. They don't want anybody to hassle them on Sunday morning. They don't really want to have a conversation with anybody. They want to sneak in, they want to take in a good show, and they want to go home. Right? They want to have some good music, they want to have a message that encourages them, lifts them up, maybe doesn't challenge them too much, just a little bit, you know, and then sneak right back out the door. Folks, that's not church. Church is what happens when brothers and sisters, brothers from other mothers, sisters from other misters, right? It's when you have all of these different folks who come together and find community with one another, when the diversity that is present among us doesn't get to be what's most important, but instead the diversity is what allows us to learn from one another and to find value in each other. And we build these relationships on what God has put in us, not instead of what we have to offer one another. We have a foundation that's built upon something stronger. And that's family, folks. I mean, there is beauty in that. And I just want to call it out today because it is so much on display so far this morning. It's so much apparent to me, and I wanted it to be apparent to you, what God creates in the midst here, and actually what you have to offer. It's so much more than a sermon or songs or a building or a space. It's so much more. You can take away all of that stuff, every last bit of it, and you can still have something here in the midst that honors God, that worships God, that glorifies God. Because all of those things, music, sermons, building, space, all of those things are just tools in our hands to worship our Creator. That's all they are. But worship flows forth from within. And God is building up what's within, in us and through us all around. Have you ever thought about the fact that you're a blessing? Like, when you were hearing the story, Keith and Barb, about your impact. Do you realize how many people you have an effect on each and every day of your life? So many more than you'll ever know. When we realize that, we take a little responsibility in the life that we live. Like when we realize that there are other people who notice who we are, what we do, how we behave, how we respond, what we focus on, what we choose to use our words to describe, where we pour our energy and our attention and our effort. People notice these things. You have a testimony, you have a witness, you have a voice, you matter. And we gather together in this place that God might take each of us with our different perspectives, our different viewpoints, build us up a little bit more, that we might be placed in God's hands, might go to work on God's behalf with God, alongside of God, proclaiming what God has given us to proclaim. Whatever that is, may it be good. Whether it gets us into trouble or not. Whether it's understood or not. Whether it does what we think it ought to do or not. May we build each other up and be faithful to what God has called each of us to do. The scripture I want to read today is actually picking up right where we left off last time. We're going to be in Matthew 12. And as we are heading towards and through the season of Lent, but heading towards Resurrection Sunday, a celebration of new life and new beginnings, new commitment, I want to continue to explore this life that Jesus lived and what He taught and how He led and some of what actually ultimately led Him to the cross. And there's a step on that journey that we find here in Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to Him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." And He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, He went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked Him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out and was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. As you read the story of Jesus, and as we seek to understand His life and His impact, doesn't it strike anyone as strange a little bit why religious leaders would want Him dead? You have a peaceful man, a kind man, a man who didn't crave after power or authority or control, a man who wasn't out front all the time, but instead would do amazing things and then retreat, right? How many stories in the Gospels do we have of Jesus showing up and doing something amazing and then telling His followers, "Hey, let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake." And the disciples would be like, "Are you crazy? Like, it's, look at these people. Like, this is where it's at." But now, come on. Or He'd do something beautiful with somebody and He'd say, "Okay, don't tell anyone what just happened." Right? He would work something amazing and He'd say, "This one's just for you. Keep this to yourself. Don't tell anybody about this." Well, of course, most people told people about it anyway, right? But you had this incredibly humble, kind man who healed and served and praised, and yet the leaders of the day wanted Him killed. And in this space, like, we see kind of the starts of that. Next time we're together, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we get led to this space of the religious institution being outraged and calling for Jesus' death. We're going to get to that. But today is just kind of the start of it. It says the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus because He replied to them. He basically overruled them. They wanted Him to discipline His followers. And He said, "You don't understand what justice is." Then they tried to corner Him and ask Him if it's okay to heal on the Sabbath, because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And Jesus goes, "Don't you understand? You would, like, if it's not out front here, you know, if your sheep falls in a pit in your backyard, you're going to go help it out. Like, you would do this too." Like, He's actually teaching, giving opportunity for people to see things through a different lens, that what God really longs for, like, yes, God longs for us to be disciplined. God longs for us to be obedient, but God also longs for us to be intelligent and to be compassionate and to be active and to fall on the side of good whenever we possibly can, to heal, to restore, to pull together. Now, to bring us to this place a little bit closer to home, I want us to think for just a minute about some of the things that we have that are in our culture, not necessarily even in this church, but in our culture, that we would consider as requirements for being a part of the faith community, for being a part of the church. Like, what are a few of the things that we would have as must? Honesty. Okay? Yeah. What else? Commitment. Okay? Good. Fellowship. Nice. Compassion. Accountability. Good. What else? Empathy. Good. Sharing your gifts. Okay? Good. Mercy. Yeah. 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 Do any of these different requirements that we would mutually have, is there ever a time when they can come into conflict with each other? Is there ever a time when doing what's just means, well, you move into a little bit of a gray area? Is there ever a time when doing what is kind is maybe, you know, how many times are there when the different emphases that we have, they rub up against one another? You got all of these different values. Like, how many of us would basically acknowledge that if you're going to be a Christian, you need to go to church? Right? You need to go to church. If you're not going to go to church, you're just not that serious about following Jesus. You think you'll find that in here? No, you won't. But we've made it really important. Now, I'm not trying to tell you it's not important. I think that when we gather together as a community, that's an important thing. I think that the way we build these relationships, the way we work with each other, I think that's incredibly important. But it's not really in there. And yet, sometimes we will elevate these things really highly. In fact, we'll create whole systems that kind of say, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we'll have all kinds of things behind it. And boy, if anybody were to challenge any of that, ooh-wee. Right? Like, what if you had somebody that said, we're going to worship on Saturday instead of Sunday? Oh boy, there would be some people who'd be like, yes! Finally, there would be other people who'd be like, not in my church. I don't think so, right? I mean, like, we're going to have all kinds of different things. And these are just small things, right? Some of them get to be big things. But there are all kinds of things in our faith community that build up what our expectation is of what it means to be a faithful follower of God. And we build up all this stuff. And sometimes some of it is just purely biblical truth. This is indisputable. There are plenty of other things, I think, in our faith traditions that we build up as this is the way it is. And if anyone were to challenge those things, well, now all of a sudden they're challenging the very foundation of what it means to love God, to serve God, to walk with God. I want to read a little story for you today from this. It's called the Book of Common Prayer, but it's written by Shane Claiborne. It's just got different stuff for each day. And I was reading through it and I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. This plays in a little bit, I think, to what's happening here in the scripture passage in a little bit different way. Harriet Tubman was born into slavery in the 1820s. In 1849, she had a vision that compelled her to run away, traveling under the cover of night with only the North Star as her guide. Arriving safely in Pennsylvania, she felt like she was in heaven. "I had crossed the line," she wrote. "I was free, but there was no one to welcome me to the land of freedom." Tubman committed herself to helping others escape to freedom, guiding at least 300 fugitive slaves to Canada over the course of 15 years. To those who traveled under her guidance, she was known as Moses. Now, did she do good? Yeah. 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 Beautiful work, right? Selfless. Compassionate. Would it have fit under all of our expectations of what it means to be faithful? Just using the words that we threw around as essentials. Do you think she was honest? I don't think so. She probably had to do whatever she had to do to keep him safe, right? Did she obey the laws? It depends on which laws you're talking about, doesn't it? Right? There would have been a whole culture, even a faith culture, that would have taken significant issue with her actions. Now, all these years later, we're able to look back and go, what bravery, what courage. So inspiring to see someone who was so devoted to the freedom that Christ proclaims for each of us, that she was not willing to see someone else be withheld from that freedom. She found it for herself, but didn't keep it to herself, and instead devoted her life to assisting others, to helping others. It goes on, in a letter to Harriet Tubman, fellow abolitionist Frederick Douglass wrote, "Most that I have done and suffered in the service of our cause has been in public, and I have received much encouragement at every step of the way. You, on the other hand, have labored in a private way. Most that you have done has been witnessed by a few trembling, scared, and footsore bondsmen and women, whom you have led out of the house of bondage, and whose heartfelt God bless you has been your only reward." I think God has calling for each and every one of us. Purpose. A reason. I think there are many of us who spend most of our lives wondering what that reason is. Wondering what our purpose is, why we're here. God, I want my life to matter, right? Use me in some significant way. There are ways in which we can waste the opportunity of the life God has given us. But there are other ways in which we can miss how God is already using us and working in us and through us. There are things in this life that get noticed. There are things that you do that, whether you like it or not, get you called up to the front of the church and pointed out in front of everybody. And there are other things that no one ever knows. There are other things that are just between you and God. There are times in which we get distracted by what our expectations are of how things should go, of what needs to happen next. There are times that we get distracted by things that are outside of our control, and we end up focused on something that is not within our responsibility. You know, I was praying this week because as I've been reading through the scriptures in this same body of text and very close to the scripture that we're reading today and that we read last week, is this whole section on division and on how a city divided against itself cannot stand, a household divided against itself cannot stand, about how when the same or similar starts working against one another, about how there's no way
it can stand. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. That there is collapse that's imminent whenever one is working against the other within, because there's plenty of opposition outside, right? When we start that inside, there's just collapse is imminent. And there seems like there is just so much division to go around these days. There is so much opposition within our country. You don't have to look very far. You barely have to turn on a television or a radio to hear about it. Within our churches, massive, massive division for who's right, who's wrong, who belongs, who doesn't, who's got it all figured out, and who's completely lost. And we are so justified in our thinking on whichever side we find ourselves on. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about politics. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about family. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about faith. We find ourselves in a culture right now where it's very popular to decide that we're right and everybody else is wrong, and that's the most important thing. And in the midst of that, we end up fighting against so many things, and we forsake so many opportunities to be blessing and encouragement to one another, especially in the midst of uncertainty, especially in the midst of division. And so as we read this passage today out of Matthew, where there was division in the view of what was the right way to go, we read this story about how there was differing perspectives on what one ought to do. Should you heal or should you not? Should you eat or should you not? How did you truly honor God? That was the question at the heart of this whole thing, folks. That's what the Pharisees were trying to get all puffed up about, was that they had it figured out what honoring God looked like. And these people were breaking the Sabbath and doing what was unlawful, which was going to upset God. And when Jesus tries to stand up for him, they try to corner him into showing that he too will be displeasing to God and will do what's not lawful and not right to do. Instead of acknowledging that really what they both wanted was to honor God, and maybe they had something to learn from each other. Maybe there was space for that. This morning, as we continue through this season of Lent, and as we approach the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, as we go through this season of preparation, I want to encourage you to explore your own journey with God. The places where God takes you. The opportunities God sets before you. And the heart that God has placed within you. What has God made you really care about? What makes you go? What gets you moving? What gets you excited? When this thing comes up, what is it that grabs you? What is it that you just say, I want to be a part of this? What is it in your life and in your makeup that you find purpose? Where you have to be. Because God is placing opportunities around us all the time. And God has given you this life as a gift. And the purpose of this life is to honor and glorify God, to give God praise, to point to the hope and freedom and forgiveness that is in God. But the way you have been called to do it might be different from the way the person next to you has been called. The space that you've been called into might be a little bit different than the space next to you. And if we get into a comparison thing, or we get into thinking that my way is the way, and we start looking with a judgmental or critical eye towards those around us, we are caught right back up into division and separation and segregation and everything that is ugly and tears down instead of that which is beautiful and builds up. But there is an opportunity for us to to recognize within us the heart that God has given us and the opportunities God has set before us, and to step boldly into them, regardless of what may come of it. Because in the act of doing that, we are faithful. In the act of responding to God, honoring God, we are being faithful. I want to close with this prayer. It's not my prayer. This is also from Shane. But it just, to me, kind of summed up beautifully this whole notion of what God may be doing. So I want to invite you to pray with me. Thank you, Lord, that throughout history there have been amazing men and women whose steadfast faith and hope in you have brought about justice, freedom, and security for those who needed it. We pray that we can learn from women like Harriet Tubman what it means to commit our lives to your service. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.